Our text for this evening is from the second reading, Romans chapter 31, verse 34. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Despite all the modern communication tools, networking is still the best way to get a job, to get the best deal, to promote what you have to offer, even to keep informed. Last week, we considered how Jesus is a protecting friend. One of the most important ways that friends protect and stick up for each other is not just in anything physical, but simply by speaking up. If someone is talking bad about you, what would you want a friend to say? If there's a good opportunity to get in on, what would you want your friend to say to you? If there was something dangerous or something beneficial that was happening, what would you want your friends to tell you? Elected representatives, ambassadors, lawyers, they're all intercessors. There's people whose job it is to speak for others in their interests. We also expect our friends to be intercessors, to speak in our interest. As we look at our text, we see how friends speak up to help others. We see how we fail to speak out about Jesus, but we see how Jesus speaks to defend and to forgive us. Let's think first about how friends speak up to help others. For example, the gospel reading we heard tells us Simon Peter followed Jesus, so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest, but Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. Now, this comes from the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, usually the unnamed disciple is John himself. Who knows how he knew the high priest, or at least the servant that watched the door? Maybe he had delivered some of his fish there once. It is said that there are only a few steps of connection between you and almost everybody else in the world. Everyone knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. Well, this one, who also knows Peter, this disciple, knows that Peter wants in too. After all, as he said, he would never leave Jesus. So he intercedes for him. That is, he speaks to the doorkeeper and he brings in Peter. Peter has benefited from introductions before. The Gospel of John tells us that two disciples of John the Baptist were the first to follow Jesus. One of those two disciples also may have been John. The other, we are told, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he's the one who then went to Peter and said, "Hey, I'm going to bring you into the circle too." He introduced him to Jesus. This is how almost everyone gets in to the church. Someone they know invited them. Who knows how many people we know, or people who know people we know, are still standing outside, waiting for one of us to speak up, even to speak with someone who may speak to someone with that invitation to come to be with Jesus. And even after we are inside, that is, inside the church, we still need friends. We need friends who will take the initiative to speak to us or for us. Now, we are not told, once Peter was in, what this unnamed friend did next. Did he hang around? Did he leave soon? Was he feeling sort of awkward too, like Peter? Or, since he knew people there, did he just chat and blend in without thinking anything of it? It could have been better for Peter, I suspect, if he had stayed at his side. Maybe he could have whispered some good advice to Peter about how to handle hard questions. Maybe he could have spoken up for Peter especially when he was confronted by another one who didn't have a name but was a relative of the one whose ear Peter had cut off not too long ago. Meanwhile, Peter himself was failing to speak up for a friend. Even when he was asked, he failed to even admit that he knew Jesus. Maybe because he was feeling afraid, maybe because he himself was feeling so alone. This may also be a reason that we failed to speak out about Jesus. We look at our text and see the high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I've spoken openly to the world. I've always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I've said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." Jesus at this time is being confronted by false witnesses who may or may not have actually ever heard him. Our world today is also full of people who think they know something about Jesus, but they may very well have it all wrong. They may be like Muslims who know all about Jesus from the Quran, which was written by Muhammad, who happened to have as one of his wives a girl who grew up in a group that was one of the early Christian heretics. So I'm sure that they got it all exactly right. What people know may also be twisted by hearing second or third hand from someone whose grandmother used to go to church, or from TV shows or songs or something that includes something about Jesus that was written by some anonymous Hollywood writer. Which is why many people may claim that every religion, including Christianity, is basically the same. It's all just different ways of saying be a good person. What makes them experts on what Christianity is all about? But Jesus says those accusing him had the opportunity to know what he said firsthand. There are no hidden secrets to Christianity, no matter what some mystery writer may imagine. He suggests the best way to know what he says, both then and now, is to ask his disciples, his friends. That would include us. So how's that working for him then? Well, not so well right then, as his disciples are denying that they even know him. What about today? We too may be leaving all the talking about Jesus to people who don't really know him, because of fear or indifference, or because maybe we think Jesus is not right when he says, "They know what I said." Because we think, "Oh, I'm not sure what he said, and I'm not sure what to do." This is why it is such good news for us. In spite of all this, we have a friend like Jesus. Jesus who speaks to defend and forgive us. Paul writes, "Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." An intercessor is a go-between, like those in the Syrian peace talks, who go back and forth from one group to another, because those who are supposed to be negotiating won't even sit in the same room with each other. Our sins have separated us from God, because they caused us to turn our back on him. But as Paul writes to Timothy, there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus, who is God, who became man, the Word become flesh, to speak to us as God's ambassador, to bring an end to the hostilities that are caused by our sin. And it was only by, just as it was only by someone speaking for him, that Peter got into the house of the high priest, it is also only by Jesus speaking for us, his personal invitation, that we are able to come into the household of God. Jesus is our true friend, who doesn't just get us into situations where we're in over our head, but who stays with us, guiding us with his word, which the Holy Spirit has put into the mouths of those who inspired the Bible. And that same Holy Spirit speaks into our hearts, helping us know how to pray, when we don't even know what to say, or to others or to God either. But most of all, Jesus constantly intercedes for us at the right hand of God, asking for us all the good things that we don't even know to ask, personally endorsing the prayers that we do pray in Jesus' name, which means that they are answered only for His sake, especially when He prays, "Father, forgive them." When we are on trial, in a courtroom more just than that of the high priest, He does not hesitate to speak up for us. He is our advocate, our defense attorney, who defends us when we dare not speak because we can only incriminate ourselves. It helps to have friends in high places. And we have the best of friends in the highest place of all. Friends speak up to help others. As Jesus' friends, we need to speak up about Him to help those others. We fail to speak out about Jesus and are intimidated and drowned out by false witnesses, but Jesus speaks up to defend us and to forgive us. His words bring us to God and bring all of God's blessings to us. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen. You may rise.